Good morning. 7 minutes after six, John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Joy Cardine program this week. Joy is on vacation. Well, we probably all know somebody who has a really annoying habit. Maybe they crack their knuckles or make weird noises with their nose or, well, I don't know. It could be lots of different things. Maybe it's that person who just says, hey, go get me a cup of coffee without bothering to say, please. Whatever it is, rude behaviors can drive us crazy, and we're going to talk a little bit this hour about how to deal with those rude behaviors when we encounter them. My guest this morning is Elizabeth Bernstein. She writes a column about relationships and human behavior called Bonds for the Wall Street Journal. She recently wrote the article, How to Deal with Other People's Rude Behavior. Elizabeth Bernstein, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the range of behaviors we're talking about. When we say rude behavior, what is it you're describing?
No, anything. I guess I'm describing bad manners, actually. So anything that you think isn't really appropriate, or it can also just be something that gets on your nerves. You wish the person would stop. So as you said, this could be like the, how you call it, annoying nose habit, or, you know, doing some noise. It could be coughing a lot, sneezing without covering their mouth. It can be, you know, somebody who's demanding, all across broad spectrum of annoying behavior that just gets on your nerves.
Well, and it's more than just getting on our nerves, as you describe in your article. You were living with your parents for just a little while your house was being renovated, and you started to actually break out in hives. Why was that?
Yes, I did. And we went through a lot trying to figure out what could I be allergic to in the guest bedroom. Is there, you know, some chemical in the laundry detergent? All sorts of things. But it turned out I really paid attention to the fact that it started when my dad would start clearing his throat a lot after dinner. I could hear him in his study just sort of hacking away. It drove me crazy. And my mom was like, peek into the room. She'd open the door really slowly and peer in and wait for me to say hello. And then she'd chirp, hello, how are you? What are you doing? So I realized, like, I think I'm allergic to my folks. And I love them so much, but their behavior was really starting to get on my nerves. And it made me look into this article and think, what's going on here? And I was surprised to find out that this is something relationship researchers study, and it's this phenomenon called social allergens, and we can actually have an allergy to another person's behavior.
So social allergens. So we have a physical manifestation of our we react physically to the behavior of others. So it's not just I get some pollen up my nose, and the next thing I know, I'm reaching for the box of tissues. It's somebody does something. And it triggers a physical reaction in us. This is a fairly recent discovery, I take it.
Well, this is something, it can be physical, like as I had. It can be physical, but it also can just be a psychological reaction. Like, I think we all know the person who maybe chews with their mouth open, or, you know, has some bad dining habits that drive us crazy. So it can be something that's just psychological, and it just starts to, like, it's like fingers down a blackboard. It starts to grate on your nerves, and you maybe don't have hives. You don't have the physical manifestation of it, but you know you really, really don't like it. So this is what researchers call social allergens. And they've been studying it for a few years. I was just surprised to find out that anybody had decided it's possible to be allergic to another person, you know, no matter what kind of reaction you have.
Well, you know, I guess this is a little bit surprising, because I've been mostly reading about how we're so self-absorbed these days in our screens and our phones and our computers and our tablets and whatever other electronic devices in front of our face that we really don't even notice the behavior of others anymore. But apparently we do.
Yeah, apparently we do. We do remember live together, many of us, you know, so we have families and spouses. And even if, you know, we're single, we live alone, we still have people, we have coworkers, we go to the office, you know, wherever we work, we are around people a lot. So that's part of it. And actually what you're talking about, the fact that we're all self-absorbed and looking at our screens all the time can actually make this worse because we're not paying attention to our own behavior. So we are maybe even more annoying than normal. Maybe we're, you know, making that little throat sound or chewing, you know, in a nasty way. We're not paying attention as much to how we have to get along anymore.
Or pencil tapping. Let's not forget pencil tapping because that's really bad.
Yeah, let's not forget it. Or the person that clicks their pen on and off and on and off and on and off when they're sitting next to you, you know, at their desk all day. All sorts of behaviors can just really, you know, but the bad laugh. A lot of people wrote me and said, you know, I can't stand when people have such a hee-haw laugh. Okay, that person can't even help it probably, but it can get on your nerves.
Well, and that does bring up the point, you know, we don't even always know that we're behaving in a way that annoys other people unless they actually let us know about it. And that can be kind of awkward as well. And I know that's one of the things we want to talk about this hour. But a lot of this behavior that you're describing so far is pretty much not really intentional. I mean, we probably don't even know that we're doing it.
Exactly. A lot of this behavior we don't know. And what's interesting is our allergen to somebody else's behavior, it's not really a person, but it's some behavior that they're doing, it can pop up right away. We can meet somebody and just have an immediate, you know, I can't stand that reaction. But typically, this behavior, our sort of allergen, our annoyance is popping up over time, and it's the repetition of the behavior that's annoying us. So the first time someone taps a pencil next to you, it doesn't really bother you as much. But, you know, if they've been doing it day in, day out for weeks, it's going to really, if that's something that bothers you, it's going to drive you up the wall. And, you know, so that's it. And so many of these behaviors, people do not really realize they're doing. So they're unintentional behaviors. And the researchers have sort of divided social allergens into different types. And one big type is, you know, I don't really know that I'm doing something that's driving someone else nuts. And I don't really mean to drive them nuts either. So that's one type. Another type is, you know, I do know I'm doing this. I could stop, but, you know, I'm too much of a narcissist. I don't really care if I bother you. And an even further category is, I know I could stop, and I'm actually doing this to you intentionally. So in the beginning of the show, you mentioned that, you know, bring me some coffee. I could say that nicer. I could say, oh, hey, I know you're going to get some coffee. Would you please mind bringing me some? Here's some cash. No, but I don't care. I don't care if you like me or not. I don't care if I'm annoying. Bring me some coffee.
Yeah, sort of a peremptory order, like I'm entitled to coffee and you're here, so you must be the one to bring it to me, and don't think too much about it. Just go do it.
Yeah, exactly that. It's really an order, and it's not at all pleasant. It's not a lot of the social allergies, whether the person doing the behavior knows that he or she's doing it or not, a lot of these rude behaviors are the person's just not thinking about it. If we thought, we'd realize, like, please, you know, ask for a favor nicely. Say please and thank you. Our mom taught us this, you know, many years ago. You know, don't chew with your mouth open. Like, you know, try not to sit at your desk all day doing things that drive the person next to you nuts. So there are manners that we've forgotten, a lot of these, whether we do it intentionally or not.
We're talking about our allergies to rude behavior, social allergens. It's really a thing. We're talking about it this hour with Elizabeth Bernstein and with you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. You can also reach the Joy Cardine program by email. It's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org, or find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave your comment or question there. So what habits or rude behaviors drive you crazy, whether it's in the workplace, in your home, out in public? What sort of things just drive you nuts, and how do you deal with it? Do you go up to the pencil tapper and say, excuse me, but your tapping pencil is driving me crazy. Would you please stop doing it? What do you do? Or do you just suffer in silence? And, well, let's flip this around. Has anyone ever accused you of rude behavior? Have you been the pencil tapper? And has someone come up to you and said, hey, you know, that's really bugging me. Would you mind not doing it? And how did you respond? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Join us, please. We want to hear about this. We're talking about dealing with rude behavior. When we come back, Elizabeth Bernstein, you mentioned four different types of social allergens, and I want to drill down into those a little bit more deeply here and get a little more of a description about what we're talking about with each one of these, and we'll have some calls. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll get into more of this. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So why you gotta be so rude? Yeah, we're talking about that a little bit. And maybe some of us didn't really understand that our behavior was rude. Maybe we don't really, we're not that self-aware, or we don't think of it that way. Well, there are a lot of things that go on a regular basis that can really drive us nuts, and we actually have a name for these. They're called social allergens, and we're talking with Elizabeth Bernstein about them. Elizabeth writes a column about relationships and human behavior called Bonds for the Wall Street Journal, and she joins me this morning. So, Elizabeth, let's talk a little bit about those. You talked about four groupings of these social allergens, and the first one is titled Uncouth Habits. And what comes in this category?
Well, uncouth habits are, these are things that, you know, somebody doesn't really know they're doing this necessarily, and they don't mean to upset you or irritate you. So these are things like chomping your gum really loudly while you're standing behind somebody in the grocery store line, or, you know, noisily talking on the phone in a public space. You know, as we keep mentioning, the tapping, tapping your pencil, clicking your pen, just things that you don't know you're doing, but they're really annoying.
And as you say, these are unintentional. And you know what irritates one person may not irritate another, and that kind of that can make this a little tricky, can it?
Exactly. And you know what it is, again, it's sort of repetition. It's how much we're exposed to that person's behavior. So, you know, if I'm in line for 30 seconds, I walk right in, person, you know, blows a big gum bubble in my ear and, you know, standing behind me, it's not going to bother me as much as if I'm stuck in line for half an hour and somebody's just chomping away and talking loudly on their phone. Then I'm probably going to have a pretty big reaction, you know, to that. It's going to start to really get to me.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So what would you suggest that we do if we're in that situation? So we're in a line and we're waiting and here's this loud gum chewer right behind us. Or maybe they're not chewing gum. Maybe they are just talking really loud on their cell phone. What's appropriate behavior on our part? How do we confront this person in a way that doesn't start a fist fight or, these days, an armed conflict?
Exactly. You know, you want to be really careful. We don't know who that, you know, what that person's state of mind is. We don't even know if they're just having a bad day. And also, we have to have some manners. People have a right to chew their gum, even if it's loud and rude. So in line, you know, if you're out in public, you have this behavior, the best thing to do is try to really remove yourself from it a little. Can you stand a little further away? Can you put your earbuds in your ear and listen to some music? Can you do something to avoid this behavior when you're in public, when it's somebody you don't know? Where these allergens really cause the problems are when it's someone you know and someone you have to get along with. So the researchers looked at who causes the most amount of problems in this, you know, who bothers us the most. And it turns out the biggest category is spouses. And the reason is, even though, you know, we hopefully love our spouse, we are with them so much over so many years that we're just bound to start annoying each other. So, and you want to get along, and you want that relationship, it's very important to you, to go well and for your whole family. So that's where it becomes more difficult. And the second big category of people who, you know, give us these social allergens are coworkers. And that's even trickier because there's something in the office, well, there's something at home called protective buffering. We love our family members. They bring us joy. There's good sides to this relationship, but we probably wouldn't be with them. So in the office, it's not necessarily that. We're stuck with somebody next to us we don't really necessarily feel so much joy about. We don't get the good sides of that relationship necessarily. We have to work together. So, it's hard to deal with both of these categories. That's where it's more difficult, and that's where you need to do two things. You want to, you've got somebody with bad behavior that's driving you nuts. You want to do two things. You want to think for yourself, hey, I can be annoying too. The first thing you want to do is think, a little empathetically. I can be annoying, so I better maybe see, is this something I need to address, or can I just let it go? But if it's really something you can't deal with anymore, you have to gently speak to that person. And it's hard, and you want to do it again, thinking about their feelings too. But you need to say, look, I know you're probably not doing this to annoy me, but tap that pencil one more time, I might just go nuts.
Let's take a call. We'll start with Brandon in Wisconsin Rapids. Brandon, good morning.
Hello. I agree with you. And there's those times when you're out of line and you've got like three people bumping your heels, right up next to you, and you really want to like shut out and tell them back off or whatever, and everyone's kind of, based on, odd circumstances. They're really grinding your teeth. But on a family level, like my dad can't stop chewing without his mouth being open. And I can hear him masticating, like literally grinding his teeth while he's talking, and it just drives me up the wall. And I love it because he's my dad. But seriously,
have you ever talked to him about it?
No, I can't. He's my dad. He's actually from a completely different generation where you wouldn't. I've tried talking to him about certain things, but the way I've come across it is that he's from a completely different generation where talking with your mouth full and making your point, he's kind of a man's man. He's like, hey, listen to me. Even if he's like spitting food at you. So it's like,
I didn't need that visual, Brandon, but thanks. Let's get our guest's reaction. Elizabeth, situational family dynamic can sometimes make this awkward, especially when it's a parent-child relationship. How did you deal with your own parents?
Well, my own parents, I thought about it, and I was going to put them in this article, so I had to address it with them. And I said, I had my mom, I'm staying with them for a little bit while I'm renovating the house. I have my mom peeking in, the doors opening very slowly while I'm, trying to write my article. And, then she's waiting because she knows she's not supposed to do this. She's waiting for the hello and hello, mom. Oh, hi, what you doing? So, and then I have my dad, sort of the similar version, a different side of talking with your mouth open, really sort of hacking away and clearing his throat so much after dinner. And so I, had to talk to them about this. And I had talked to my mom before and said, mom, look, I can't take it when you keep, it's several times an hour. If I'm, in this guest room, I love you, but I cannot take this behavior. Because this is behavior she does know she's doing. So that's a little different. My dad I didn't talk to because it's behavior he doesn't know he's doing. Tried to tease him a little bit about it. Dad, my dad's situation is he actually eats so fast that he aspirates a little food and then he's coughing. And I said, Dad, slow down. So it's very hard when it's a parent. We love them very much. We, they've done so much for us. But yet that chewing, as the guest said, and spitting his food while he's making his point is difficult to take. And again, there is often that generation gap. There's some other different kind of cultural thing going on. So I with parents, sometimes you can be a little funny about it. You can say, "Oh, hey, Dad, you know, I know you really want to make this point, but you just spit that food at me." Depending on if Dad has a sense of humor, otherwise, you know, you might have to turn up some music, and when you eat, you know,
sit at the other end of the table, you know, eat in another room.
Yeah, people forget that there's sort of coping things that we can do, you know, that are different. I didn't want to lock the guest bedroom door, but I had to start doing it. You know, you had to, and also, you know, taking that idea of humor. So you could have a little humor with Dad, you know, "Dad, I got to sit over here. I'm going to sit in the other room because I can't take it." A little bit of humor, but you can vent to other people too. If you have siblings, you know, you have a, you know, mom, you know, has had to deal with this. Other people probably know this too. You can say, "Oh, did you ever notice?" Not in a mean way to talk behind Dad's back, but just to sort of let a little of your own steam go.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the things people do that can really drive us nuts. These are social allergens. Some of them are unintentional. We've talked about those. Others are not. We'll delve further into that a little bit later on this hour. Also want to remind you that we'll have our Monday morning wake-up call later on, and we'll focus on the dangers of powdered caffeine. That's still to come. We invite your participation on the program this morning. What rude behaviors are you encountering in others that just drive you crazy, and how have you dealt with them? Were you able to talk to somebody in a polite way and say, "Hey, you know, when you click your pen like that, it just makes me want to explode. Would you please maybe stop doing it?" What did you do? How did it work? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org. Or find us on Facebook. Look for The Joy Cardine Show. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. We're talking about rude behavior that can cause us to have allergic reactions. These are called social allergens. What are they, and what can we do about them? That's what we're talking about with Elizabeth Bernstein, who writes a column about relationships with the Wall Street Journal called Bonds. She recently wrote the article, How to Deal with Other People's Rude Behavior. Well, Elizabeth, we've been talking about the kinds of rude behavior that maybe they're bad habits that people have, chewing with your mouth open or trying to talk and chew at the same time, which often amounts to showering our friends with whatever it is we're eating, loud gum chewing, pen clicking, pencil tapping, that kind of thing. But we've also talked about some other things, violations of norms such as, I guess some examples, and we haven't really gotten into those too much, things like smoking right outside the door, or talking in a theater during a movie, or texting while driving. Those are some things that are, they're intentional, but they're not directed specifically at us. They're just things people do that annoy us. We touched on those maybe a little bit. And then there are some things that are directed at us personally, such as the insistence that we bring people coffee and things like that, or are you really going to eat that, or, you know, things like that. What do social allergens do to our romantic relationships? That's perhaps an even better topic to get into at this point.
That's a good topic. As we were talking a little bit ago, one of the biggest sort of categories of people that can start to get on our nerves, sadly, are those people that we're around all the time. So they are our spouses, our romantic partner. So that's a big one, and you want to get along. And what happens there is there's this sort of honeymoon period. They call it that for a reason. There's a time where everything's rosy in our relationship, and, you know, that other person, we're so infatuated. It's not that the other person can't do any harm. It's that we're so infatuated with that person, we don't see anything that they're doing. We don't notice the way they're chewing, you know, if it's bad. Like, we don't notice their bad habits. And so that period is, it's partly psychological, but it's partly biological. What's going on is there's a lot of bonding hormones that are going off. And so, you know, that are sort of firing a lot. So that again, neuroscientists have followed this. That period of romantic love, they call it, where you're really, really, you know, connected and that other person could do no harm, that lasts about 18 months to 2 years. And then after that, it's, you know, you love that person deeply. You can be in love, but, you don't have that sort of protective buffering of all those hormones and you're so crazy about each other. So what happens is these little things are going to start to annoy you. You're going to start to notice the way the person chews, you know, the way they breathe, even if they're coughing, hacking their throat, you know, whatever they're doing that can be annoying, you start to notice. And what do you do in that relationship that you love this person, you've, you know, probably chosen to make a life with them? You know, what do you do when you look at them and something that they're doing you just cannot stand? What do you do there? That's the hardest part.
Well, I guess we what you're talking about there is we have this kind of courtship phase where we want to put our best foot forward all the time and we don't want to do anything. You know, we're very conscious of things that we might do that would be embarrassing to us or to the other person, and we want to always look our best, because here's where we're really trying to land the fish. Once we've got him in the boat, well, you know, maybe then it's okay if I don't rinse the sink after I brush my teeth, or if I leave the toilet seat up, or, you know, whatever it might be. The courtship phase is over. This person and I are now connected, and so, great, I can just relax, and maybe some things come out that, not always literally, but things come out that wouldn't have been noticed, or you just make sure that you don't do those things when you're in the process of courting someone.
Exactly. You're courting somebody, we are all on our best behavior. If we're not, it's just not going to work. We're not going to land that fish, as you're saying. And my uncle has this great saying, and he says, it's a lovely saying, but then you can see the flip side of it. He says, you know, home is where you can scratch if it itches. And it's nice. Like, home's where you can relax. It's where people love you. You can be yourself. But the flip side of that is you can scratch where it itches, and that can drive people nuts. You can do whatever it is that you maybe wouldn't do in public when you're on your best behavior after you've, you know, got these people loving you. So that's the tough part. Like, how do we get along? And the big thing that, you know, I talked to a lot of psychologists about this, and, you know, how do you deal with somebody you're living with, you know, that you do love, you want to be with, but, oh, they're driving you nuts. And they say, conversely, the thing you have to do is really look at yourself and think, you know, I can be annoying too. What is it that is annoying about me? And so it gives you a little empathy there to come at them. You know, I know that they're smacking that gum when we're in the car and driving me crazy, but, you know, I also do these things. I turn the radio without listening. You know, they're singing along, and I just turn that radio station to something else. So that's, you know, I have to think about the things that I do that are probably annoying too. That's always good to do in a marriage whenever you're annoyed about anything, to look at your own behavior too, is the big one.
You actually write about a long-time married couple who each have things that bug the other and how they've dealt with it. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there are things all sort of related to the kitchen. And, you know, she would throw down a towel. She spilled something on the floor. She would sort of throw down the, you know, kitchen towel to wipe it up, and leave it there for the next time she spilled something. So there was always sort of this little towel on the kitchen floor waiting for the next spill. She thought that was efficient. She drove her husband crazy to come in there and see this towel sitting there. You know, he didn't always put everything away. He could, you know, do the dishes. That's wonderful. But he would, like, inevitably leave something in the sink. So, you know, and she just thought, like, why? Why, if you're doing the kitchen, can't you just do all of it? Why do you leave one dish in the sink? So they had these things that they did that drove each other nuts, and then it turned out they really talked about it. They had to sit down and say, you know, I can't stand this. I can't stand that. And then this couple did go to therapy, not necessarily only about this issue, but in couples therapy, they did talk about this and learn how to deal with it. And then they tried to change their behavior. You know, if it drives him crazy, I'm not going to leave that towel on the floor. Like, so, you know, I have to really think about that. But what's funny about this couple is they use humor too. So if they're annoyed with each other, they will go back to that behavior. She'll leave the towel on the floor, you know, and so then they'll say, okay, what did I do wrong? Because you're clearly mad. So they use this now out its little signaling device.
Hmm. And this is a couple that has been married for a long time.
Decades. This is a happy couple. This is not, you know, a bad marriage. But that does also beg sort of this idea, this next question of sometimes they're just annoying behavior. Sometimes it's just that towel on the floor. You come in from working out. You just throw your exercise equipment in the corner of the bedroom. Why? Sometimes it's just that. But sometimes these behaviors can take on a bigger, more symbolic meaning. And when that towel on the floor, you can't pick up after yourself, as some smallish seeming behavior starts to just become the one thing that makes you hate somebody, then you have to look at the relationship. Because sometimes these behaviors can be symbolic that there's things wrong elsewhere in your relationship. Maybe not enough good going on that you feel good about that person so that these littler things that are so annoying don't flare.
Well, and you know, I guess that brings up the other question is, let's flip this around a little bit. So, you know, someone throws a towel on the floor to pick up a spill and leaves it there. How about if I figure out a way to get over being irritated by that? Maybe that's one way to deal with this.
Exactly. That's the biggest way. And honestly, people don't think about this very often, but the biggest, because I write about relationships, you know, week in and week out, and over and over, I'm struck by how many times the experts, these marriage counselors and therapists and psychologists, people who really are in the trenches helping couples and helping families and other people get along and get over their communication problems and their differences, so many times their advice, no matter what topic I'm writing on, is change yourself. And so because we can't really ever change the other person, your caller in earlier had a fabulous example. I mean, I'm not fabulous for him, but, you know, really strong example of what we're talking about. And, you know, a dad that he is close to and cares about, but the man is, you know, spitting his food when he talks and chewing with his mouth open. And so, you know, how do we get along with this? You can't really change someone else, but what you can do is change your own behavior sort of actively. You can, as we said, sit at the other side of the table, turn on some music so you don't hear the chewing, choose not to eat so much with dad. You know, I love you, but you know, I'm going to come over later. We'll watch a movie. You can change your own behavior. And sometimes when you change your behavior and you're less annoyed at that person, they change their behavior too. They subconsciously change it. They calm down.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls. We'll go to Marcus in Green Bay. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning. I think over the years I've learned that, you know, I'm not in the work environment anymore, but when I was, I worked with a small company for about 22 years, and we traveled all around a couple guys at a time, you know, staying in motels. And this one summer I was working with a guy. I really liked him a lot, but he did have a way of kind of pushing people's buttons. He would kind of go on and on about things or certain, you know, and he could be annoying or whatever, but he's a nice guy. He's older than me. He was running the job, and it lasted all summer, so we'd go back and forth and all summer, so we lived together and everything, so in a motel. So anyway, one day he was just going on and on, and, you know, in the beginning I would say, okay, you know, all right, you know, and whatever, you know, he wasn't, like, personally cutting me down or anything, but anyway, one day I just snapped at him, and I called him a derogatory name, and during the course of the time we were getting to know each other, he was kind of confiding in me about some personal issues. And I was pretty young at the time, but I was as supportive as I could be, you know. And he was trying to come out of the closet, but it was way back then. And I was younger, but I was, you know, all I could say is, well, yeah, you know, I felt for him, you know. Well, one day he was going on and on, and I snapped at him, and I called him a derogatory name, you know, pertaining to what he was. And I'll never forget the look on his face of hurt. You know, it was just plain hurt, you know. And man, you know, we both stood there for a second, there's silence, and I apologize, and then, you know, all week long I try to talk about it and apologize, and he would talk to me, and anyway, so I don't know if that's when I began to learn my lesson of, you know, not to be passive aggressive, because boy, oh boy, you know, time goes on, you learn. So there's a barking dog next door. I live in an apartment complex, and it's one of those yapping dogs. The windows are open and everything. It just goes right through my head, you know, and a lot of times I turn off all the, you know, I read in silence, and, you know, it just sort of So I talked to the young gentleman. You know, we've talked a lot out by the garages. We say hi to each other. You know, he's working on his car or something. You know, and I said, I don't know if you're aware of it. I said, but, you know, when you're gone, when you guys leave, your dog barks nonstop. And I kind of jokingly said, I think it even barks in its sleep because it just doesn't quit, you know. And it's like, yeah, you know, I didn't do that to him, but it just goes on and on. So he says, yeah, you know. He says, all right, I'm thinking of getting a shocking collar for it. And I'm like, oh, well, whatever, okay, so, you know, at least he's going to address it. So the thing is, your guest said something about, you know, trying to ignore it or whatever until it drives you nuts. Well, this went on for, I don't know, 2 or 3 more weeks, and I thought I was ignoring it, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was just really upsetting me. And I'm like, well, I can't talk to him now. You know, I'm really upset. So one day I was out watering my lily, the lily in front of the apartment here, and they both came over and said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? So she kind of went inside, and I said, hey, I thought you were going to do something about your dog barking all the time. I said, he's still barking, and you mentioned a shocking collar. And he said, yeah, I know. I said, I can't afford it. And all of a sudden, it's like she was prepared or something. She came out the door like a head of a turtle snapper. Boy, oh, boy, she came out, and the first thing she did is try to divert it. It was a neighbor's dog, and that dog barks, too, sometimes when people walk by, but and that's another subject to only barks.
So, we're running out of time here. Marcus, I'd like to give Elizabeth Ernstein a chance to respond. A couple of things there. One is the danger of letting something build up until we snap. A behavior, and the other is sometimes even when we try to intervene and we're nice about it, we don't always get the result we want. Elizabeth, are you still there? I think we lost her. Uh-oh. Well, let's do this then. We'll just thank Elizabeth, and thanks, Marcus, for your call, and thank all of the rest of you who've participated. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have our Monday morning wake-up call, and this time we'll talk about the dangers of powdered caffeine. Stick around. That's still to come on the Joy Cardine program. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network.